Yes, I went to my study day today. I study on Fridays, and I was looking at Jeremiah and kind of planning on going on in the book of Jeremiah, but the Lord said, no, I want you to do something about moms. And I got so blessed as God showed me three women in the Bible that really give us an example of a good mom. And I wanted to kind of just bring those principles to us today and rejoice with all you mothers and everyone. So today we're going to be looking first at Deborah. And let's go to Judges chapter 5 and verse 7 in the scriptures. You know, Sherry and I were on the freeway this morning and we saw a bumper sticker and it said, Rescue Mom. And I went, wow, she's a rescue mom. And I was thinking, that's kind of what the sermon's on today. Mom's coming to the rescue. And we kind of looked at each other and started laughing because we said, maybe she's a mom that needs rescue. And that happens too, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes, boy, I tell you, we need some break times from those little whippersnappers that running around the heels and all. Go ahead and take a look at Judges chapter 5, verse 7. Now, I'll give you a little background to be able to understand the first part of the verse, that this is actually inside of a song that Deborah and Barak, the general of the Lord's forces, put together to sing to the Lord. The leaders of Israel just rejoicing. It says in chapter 5, verse 1, Deborah and Barak, the son of Ahiam, sang on that day. And this is a day of a great victory that actually the Canaanites attacked Israel. They were oppressing Israel, beating up their villages and all. And so God sent Barak to be the general of the army, and Deborah was behind that and got that word from the Lord. And so after the defeat of Jabin and Sisera, that's the king of the Canaanites and the general on the side of the Canaanites. After their defeat, they sang this song. So that'll help us understand verse 7. It says, village life ceases. It ceased in Israel. Things had got so miserable under the bondage of the Canaanites. Until I, Deborah, arose. And here's our kind of launching of today's study right here. I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. And so here Deborah is known as and called in the Bible the mother of Israel. And so as we look at some of the things in her life, we can see attributes of a godly mother because she was anointed by the Lord God Almighty to be a mother. Actually, not just to her own family, but to all of Israel. So, you know, she's going to have some good things to show us. And so with that, I'd like to go ahead and turn with you now to Judges chapter 4 and verse 5. So we go back one page in the book of Judges, and we want to go ahead and read verses 4 and 5 there. And this says, now Deborah, she was a prophetess, meaning that she was like the four daughters of Philip that prophesied that actually she would bring forth words from God for people. And there's women in our church like that today with that kind of gift. We call it the gift of counseling. We call it the gift of wisdom, words of knowledge. But it's bringing forth words from God for different ones that need help. And that's a gift of the Spirit. And actually, Deborah had that gift. You would have to be a mother in Israel. And so Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Labadoth, was judging, or actually counseling is a better word, I think, for us, Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah. I love this first point about being a good mom. A mom is always available for the children. You know, I'd love to see that at our school here. You see it all the time. You know, a little child gets sick, and sometimes they end up on the couch in my office, or they end up in the office in the front there waiting, and they're waiting for mom. Because, and sometimes you can't really stop them from crying. We just had this one little one just last week or so that it just wanted mom to be there. And of course, the child wants his mother, and it's the way it is. So Deborah actually set up a place known as the Palm Tree of Deborah. I love this. You know, if you want to, I'm here for you. Just come to my palm tree. You know, and it was between Ramah and Bethel. These are famous locations in Israel, and they're centrally located. So if someone in the Negev had a question for Deborah and wanted a prophetic word from the Lord, they were equal distant from the Galilee down in the Negev. So they could come up to central Israel to Deborah's palm tree. She would sit under the palm tree of Deborah. I mean, she sat there so much that they called it the palm tree of Deborah. This is the palm tree that Deborah owns. And I thought that was just really, really neat. Now, let's read down a little bit here. It says, Ramah in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment and for counseling and direction for their lives and so forth. Now, at that time is when they got in trouble with the Canaanites, and King Jabin sent Sisera, this general with a large army, to oppress Israel. And as Deborah was sitting under her palm tree, she got a word from God, call Barak, call him and ask him and tell him that God has anointed him to lead the armies of Israel against this group. And he came up. But he was a needy child, as needy children are needy, right? And we see, the next thing we see is that a good mom will always go with the needy child wherever the needy child needs to go. In fact, Sherry and I read an article a few years ago from Reader's Digest called, actually, Moms in Minivans. And, you know, if a family has a minivan, it's usually driven by the mom. And I know so many moms that have their minivans. And what do? They're chauffeurs. They take the kids here and they take the kids there. And then when the grandkids come, they take the grandkids here and the grandkids there. And it's just what moms do. And so Barak, he's a little afraid to go do his job that God's called him to. And he says to her, verse 8, let's look at verse 8 of Judges. If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I'm not going, Mom. I'm not going without you. And I can remember a time in the barber shop when I was about 5 years old, and I just wanted my mom to stay there and watch that guy. You know, and I got upset when she stepped out for a minute, but she came right back. I was so glad to see her. It was like the second coming, you know, when mom shows up, you know. I was so happy, and I'm sure you can identify. But Barak wanted Deborah to go with him. And she said to him, verse 9, I will surely go with you. And there is a mom for you. I mean, they just can't say no. They're always rescuing people, always taking care of those whippersnappers, those ones that need help, and all the friends usually as well. And I just think about the life of my own wife, you know, and different ones. So it is just an amazing blessing to see Hannah doing this for Barak. She had a mother's heart for him. She was a mother in Israel. But she also could do tough love, and that's important for a mom. You know, the scripture says this, a child left to himself, just you let the child do exactly what they want, will bring his mother to shame. And it's sad to see in our society a lot of that going on. But then there's those good moms out there, oh yeah, and they show some tough love. And you know, when you need to show tough love, you can quote scripture to your kids. I always did to my boys when they needed a spanking. I would tell them, the Bible says, if I don't discipline you, I hate you. Yeah, it actually says that in the book of Proverbs, right? Flat, full on there. People that don't want to have anything to do with their kids and ignore them and just sit them in front of the Terminator or something worse out there at the TV and just say, shut up and watch TV, you know, and I don't want anything to do with you kind of stuff. That's not love. That's not love. And the Lord actually says that in the Bible, you know, with this verse. But those that discipline their kids and watch over them, they are putting effort and love into the relationship. And sometimes it makes you the bad guy. You got to be the bad guy sometimes, but you're not their friend. First and foremost, you're their parent. You need to parent them and help them along. And so right here we see this in Deborah. She said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you, young man. And I just added the young man there because that's what my mom always used to say. Young man, when she was ticked at me or she had something hard to say to me, she'd say, listen here, young man, you need to straighten up, you know, and fly right. So nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey. You are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera, the general of the army, into the hand of a woman, and she'll get the glory. Now, I probably shouldn't end the story without letting you know how this happened. It's quite dramatic. But Sisera was running from Barak because the army of Israel was winning the battle, just like Deborah knew Israel would win against these oppressive Canaanites. And Sisera was on the run. He was on the plain. And he saw a tent out there, and he thought that tent belonged to a tribe that was basically on his side. But he made a mistake, and he went in, and Jael was in the tent. And she was I don't know if she's a good mom. This has nothing to do with being a mother of this one. Woo, this is just a brave act. But then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him because he fell asleep. She gave him some milk and he fell asleep, and he was just exhausted from running from the battle. And so Jael took a tent peg and he took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down all through his head into the ground. So he was really dead. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And so Jael gets all the glory for this battle. I mean, wow, what a brave girl she was to just go ahead and go up against the general of the army. But that has nothing to do with motherhood, so we want to transfer back to Deborah now and just see that she had that prophetic word, and that tough love was given through her. She was doing a duty as a good mother, mothering over her flock. And so there it is. What an example for us. Now, the next thing I'd like to say to you is we want to go to Hannah now. Hannah, because a mother must be a woman of prayer. Plain and simple, bottom line, a mother's got to be a woman of prayer. And we see this so graphically and wonderfully in Hannah's life. And so let's turn to 1 Samuel now. Now, 1 Samuel is just on a little bit. It's just after the book of Judges. So we're in the book of Judges. We want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting at verse 9. Now, Hannah wasn't having any babies. Her husband and her were trying and trying to have babies, but no babies were coming. And Hannah was brokenhearted. In that society, if you didn't produce babies, you were somehow cursed of God. That was the idea. It totally a wrong idea, but it's the way it was. In fact, if a baby is born, and if it's a boy, they throw a big party. But if it's a girl, they just all go home. It's terrible. I mean, the society was bad news, man. They kind of got that backwards or something, or upside down. Of course, Jesus came and changed all that, didn't he? And we see the difference today. Those that follow Jesus are really the Western civilization are kinder and gentler to their women. And we want to do that, don't we? But over there in the Middle East, where they're still going with the old time stuff before Jesus, the Taliban and those guys, they are so wicked to their women. It's crazy. And I don't have to tell you that because there's been a lot of publicity about it. But anyway, Hannah was just dying a thousand deaths because she wasn't having any babies. And so she went with her husband to the tabernacle, which was in a place called Shiloh at that time. And at Shiloh, she was there praying. And it says, so Hannah, verse 9, arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, this is the high priest of the time where the tabernacle was in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle, kind of the first church, you know, in the Bible of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. Oh, she was so bummed that she had no babies. And she wanted a male child because, of course, that's what the society dictates. You have a baby boy. And so she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She was just going crazy with sorrow over this whole thing. Then she made a vow and she began to pray to the Lord. Great place to go. When you're in anguish, when you're weeping, when you're in bitterness of soul, you go to the Lord. And sometimes kids will do that to you. You know, I mean, it's just, let's be honest here. You know, a lot of them get off the track sometimes and it breaks mom's hearts. They just, oh man. So what do? You go before the Lord. You pray your heart out. You get a hold of the horns of the altar. I like that expression because the altar that was built in the courtyard of the tabernacle and the temple had horns on it. There was horns that came out like this. And folks that were just in desperation prayer would go there and just grab those horns and pray their hearts out. Just Jesus, or the Lord said it this way in Jeremiah. He said, "If when you seek me with your whole heart, your whole heart, your whole being, then I will surely hear you." That's when God hears. He doesn't like half-hearted prayers. He doesn't. And so he's waiting for that full-on, God, I've got to hear from you. This has got to happen. And prayers like, you know, Lord, if you've never listened to one other prayer, please listen to this one. Because I am in trouble. And God hears those prayers. He's lovely to us that way. So she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maid servant and remember me and not forget your maid servant, but will give your maid servant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now that's part of the Nazarite vow, to not ever cut your hair like with Samson. And so she said, my son, if you give him to me, will serve you all the days of his life. He'll be a Nazarite from birth, dedicated to you, Lord. And she actually ended up at 2 years old. Samuel was born, the prophet Samuel, and he was a straight arrow prophet. There's nothing in the whole Bible said wrong or negative about Samuel. King David, yes. He got out of line. He needed to repent. And others. But Samuel is a straight arrow for the Lord. And of course, he wasn't sinless, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's true about every one of us. but he was such a servant of the living God. No razor would come upon his head. He was dedicated to the Lord. And after he was dedicated to the Lord and given to the high priest and served in the tabernacle, Ashley Hannah was blessed with more and more kids. Oh, she had them, just a handful of them. And so was so blessed by God after having that first baby. Now it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. He was kind of judging her. Yep, Eli was watching her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard because of the anxieties and the tensions that were in her heart. She couldn't get any words out. But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. Oh, that's nice, Eli. Yeah, just tell the lady she's drunk while she's pouring out her heart before the Lord. Good idea. Bad idea. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then, praise God, the Holy Spirit came upon Eli. And Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So she just, that's it. She got the word from the man of God, from the high priest, and she had faith in the Lord. And she just went and got some pancakes and smiled and said, "You know what? Everything's going to be hunky-dory and cool." And of course, in that time, the year after, Samuel was born. And what a blessing, what a blessing. But what do we see here? We see a woman that could get a hold of the horns of the altar. And you know, that's where moms need to go when they need help, especially if you've got a wayward child, something that's really painful and bitter for your soul. You go get them. You go get them. You find a place to pray. I was done so well in that movie, about prayer. I can't remember the name of it now, but most of us saw it. But anyway, just a strong battle that we have to go before the Lord and pray your guts out. Amen. You just grab the Lord's lapel and look him in the eyes with love. Not like, "Lord, I'm not choosing you off here." I'm just saying, "You gotta hear me, man. This is tough stuff." And go get that kid back through prayer. And God will help you. And God will bless you for that. Yes, Hannah's our example. She's a great mom. She was a praying mom that was praying to be a mom. And then all through her life. Let's take a look in the New Testament on this subject. Let's go to James chapter 5 and verse 16 in the New Testament. And I love this verse for, you know, the New Testament gives us the principles and the Old Testament gives us stories and experiences that bring examples to the instructions we have in the New Testament. That's the way I see it. And so let's take a look at James chapter 5 and verse 16. Now it says here, first it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It means a lot to God when we pray. And it even says here that Elijah, using him as an example from the Old Testament, was a man with a nature like ours. Sometimes we don't want to pray because we don't feel worthy. You got to just jump over that. Jesus Christ is the only worthy one. And you go to him because you need help. And who is he? He's your Savior. And it's his righteousness will answer your prayers, not yours. So you feel free. You just get on your horse and go for the Lord. Chase him down and seek him. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. He was a sinner too and made mistakes. But he prayed earnestly, with fervency, with earnestness. And that's what we got to do, seeking him with our whole heart. That it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. God heard that prayer. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. God had Elijah dealing with a bad guy named Ahab. He's the only king in Israel that was called the worst by the Bible commentators. It's specifically Haley's book, Handbook of the Bible. So it names all the kings of the northern kingdom of Israel, and they get to Ahab and they say, the worst. He was bad man. Bad man. Bad, bad. Slap him on the hand. And his wife Jezebel was really a pip, I'll tell you. Yeah, she ended up being eaten by dogs, and just her hands and feet were left when the dogs were finished. Gets graphic in the Bible sometimes, you know? Man. But anyway, Elijah then prayed after those 3.5 years, after defeating the prophets of Baal and getting things back on track in Israel, and was a great hero that way. But he was so blessed and so moved with God's power and authority of the prayers for the rain and the defeat of those prophets that he outran Ahab's chariot. I would have loved to have been there for it. You ought to check out the story, you know, and read through it yourself. But anyway, Ahab was at the top of the mountain, and he got in his chariot, started to rain, wanted to get out of the rain, get back down to the palace, and so he's going down the hill with horses taking him in his chariot. And Elijah was so pumped up, so blessed in the Lord, that he outran Ahab's chariot. And I can just see it. He was probably hooting and hollering like our brother here does sometimes. And just going, God, God has heard my prayer. And it's beginning to rain again. And to bring water, for fill up those streams for the widows and for all the people through Israel. And he was really, really blessed. And so there it is. And so God is asking us to bring forth effective, fervent, earnest prayer about these things. And this is what a good mom will do. Did you know that there's a city, and I've shared this a lot of times before, so you probably already know, here along our coast that was named after a praying mom. Santa Monica is named after Saint Monica, who prayed Augustine, the first great church theologian, to get saved. He was a lush and a womanizer until he was 30 years old. But he had a mom that loved him, never gave up on him, probably quoting the scripture, you train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So he's not old yet. He's only 30. But for some of us, 30 was a hard year to get by, thinking about I'm getting older. I was a youth pastor, and I turned 30, and I had to have a little moment there, you know. I'm getting old. Anyway, that was 40 years ago. So, where was I with this? Santa Monica was named after Saint Monica because she prayed Augustine into the kingdom of God. And the guy, after he got saved at age 30, he preached every single day and twice on Sunday to the leper colony in Alexandria in northern Africa. He became very famous in the church. And so Santa Monica, you know, and I think about Santa Monica, and you know, my original thought about Santa Monica is it's a wicked place, you know. But you know what? There's great light there too. And I needed to share about Katie today. I know the Hoganson's are here. They invited me to go see their daughter one time up there in Santa Monica because she married the son of the pastor of Calvary Chapel Santa Monica. Is that what it's called? Calvary Chapel Santa Monica. And it is right in the middle of all of it. I mean, it's like two blocks to the beach, big high-rises around. Adam Sandler, the movie star, lives across the street, and he comes over to their place. This place doesn't look like a church. It looks like a coffee shop.
He comes over to get coffee.
He comes over to get coffee.
He's Jewish.
Yeah. He comes over to get coffee. Yeah. But, you know, they got out there in the news, and they were actually on the news. On the, what's it, Channel 5 or something? Or 4?
CNN.
On CNN. And anyway, so Katie is over there, and it is a beautiful thing to see, and it was such a great day for Sherry and I, and I'm sure we thanked you guys before. We thank you again. That was just the Holy Ghost day. We went and visited there, the pastor. We saw what they're doing there. They give away free coffee, and they mainly do that because there's this big high-rise of seniors right behind them, and they're on fixed income. And so at the end of the month, the government pays you the first of the month. So at the end of the month, their income's getting lower. But they want to serve them coffee, no matter how poor they are. And so they come in, and this has become very famous in Santa Monica, and that's why they were on the news. They're giving away free coffee. And then they would just have a donation place there, and there's some movie stars that have been in, like Adam Sandler, and he loves their coffee. And of course, you know, he puts a large donation in, so that makes up for what they miss from people that can't afford it. But also, their church is right on the same premises. Man, when I saw that, I was so moved with that, you know.
It's Calvary Chapel Metro.
Okay, Calvary Chapel Metro, okay.
Metro.
In Santa Monica. But anyway, they have this place next to the coffee shop where they have church every Sunday. And at this time we were there, they were under construction, so you could see from the coffee shop into the church. And so they would just have church, you know, and then the people coming into the coffee shop would see what's going on with the church situation. And it was a powerful move of the Holy Spirit. You could just feel it. And Katie being a part of that and everything. So Santa Monica is rolling. And so, named after a praying mom, right? So that was interesting to me. Okay, well, let's just do one more then. The good mom should be a woman of great faith. Great faith. It takes faith. It takes trust in the Lord to get through a 16-year-old's life. Sharon and I were at the doctor the other day, and it's neat. We're going to the heart doctor together. Well, I could get all into that, but it's a blessing. The guy's a Christian. He goes to Calvary Costa Mesa. He's a great guy. But anyway, 16-year-old daughter and one of the ladies that was doing a test on Sherry was just going crazy. And we just go, oh, yeah, well, we remember those days, kind of thing. But anyway, let's turn to Luke chapter 1. About great faith, Luke chapter 1. And of course, Mary is the mom of all moms, right? I mean, gee, she got chosen by God to birth Jesus Christ. And so she's a special, special lady. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And here we see that the angel comes to Mary to tell her that she's going to have Jesus after speaking to Zechariah and giving the message that they would have John the Baptist. 6 months afterwards he went, this angel Gabriel came to Mary. And Mary having come in, the angel said to her, at the end of verse 28, rejoice, highly favored one. Can you imagine if an angel came to you and said, rejoice, highly favored one? I mean, what kind of reaction would you have? Well, Mary is a very humble girl. Many believe she was as young as 16 years old, and a good 16-year-old. Hallelujah, like all my boys were, basically. Anyway, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. That's from verse 30 at the end. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Blessed are you among women, as it says at the end of verse 28. So these are highly praiseworthy things given to Mary. I mean, she's the ready mom. She's the mom that God's going to choose to have Jesus. And so the angel told her, and I'm just going to read this very quickly to you. Behold, you will conceive in your womb, this is verse 31, and bring forth a son. She'll call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? I've not made love to anybody. I have not known a man. And it wasn't lack of faith. It was just a question, just to understand how this can be. And the angel answered and said to her, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Let's say that together. With God, nothing will be impossible. And so that's why we go to the horns of the altar, right? That's why we get tight with the Lord. That's why we seek Him with all of our hearts, because, you know, without Him, we can't do anything. We can't do anything, but with Him, all things are possible, even when it looks terribly impossible, where it just looks like you are so dead. We are so dead, but God can raise the dead. And so Mary said then to the Lord, behold, through the angel, maidservant of the Lord, let it be done according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And so she said, fine, let's do this thing. Imagine somebody just tells you, you're going to have a baby in a very impossible way, and this baby's going to be called the Son of God. Oh, great, let's do it. I mean, that's what she said here. See, she just had this tremendous faith, this tremendous trust in the Lord. And if we can find that, and moms finding that can become those moms with the shiny eyes and can kind of laugh off different trials and get you through and help the kids be delivering the kids a great sense of security, because mom is not letting this get to her. And she just gets through it, and it's a beautiful thing, and Mary sure did. And what a blessing. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so Mary was pleasing the Lord. She was high favored by the Lord. She was called blessed by the Lord, and she'd be called blessed to every generation because of it. And so what do we see here? The trust. Now, I just end with this little testimony, and then we'll take communion. When my oldest son was in first grade, and the other sons are stair-stepping down to 2 years old, I was concerned about raising them right. I just wanted to do it right. And I was just powerfully seeking the Lord about that. And I heard about Nancy Barker, a godly mother, raised 8 kids, and all of them were saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and serving God. And I said, I've got to see this woman. I have to go see her. And Sherry says, well, she's having a Bible study over at the church, and I'm going to go. And so I was the only man at the ladies' Bible study. And I was sitting there very patiently waiting to ask her the question, how did you do it? And I asked my question, and the other ladies that were there began to answer my questions, and it was very sweet of them to try to help me out. But I wanted to hear from Nancy. Because Nancy raised 8 kids and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and doing God's will. And so I was waiting with bated breath to hear what that woman was going to say to me, that godly mother. And she saw my desperation. She saw it. And she waited very patiently till all of the conversation died down. And then she looked at me with her deep brown eyes. And she said, "You pray and trust God." And there was nothing after that. And I said, "That's simple. You pray and you trust God. You do a Hannah and a Mary and you're going to be okay. And if your child gets away, they'll be back if you train them in the way they should go." And of course, every single human being on the planet has a freedom of choice. And so we do have some pains. But with those pains, you go to the horns of the altar and you trust with all of your heart your living, loving Savior that's in control of the universe. And I thank God so much for Nancy Barker. She's in heaven now. She died of cancer years ago. But what a woman, and what a powerful, powerful launching pad she gave Sherry and I on how to raise our kids. And I wanted to pass that on to you. And so, Deborah, Hannah, Mary, what blessed saints, and they all knew how to be mothers, didn't they? And we want to follow suit. We want to take example, right? Let's pray. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for every mother here today at church. And Lord, we're so thankful that you give us instruction and examples from your scriptures and from real life, Lord, that happens right now. Lord, you do that, Father, and we're so thankful to you. God, help us to continue to pray to you, to trust you, and to just watch you do great and marvelous things, Father, as you work hard all the time. You never slumber, you never sleep. And working with those things that concern us, casting our cares upon you because you care for us. So bless these mothers today. Bless the fathers. Bless all of us, Lord, with these Bible truths. We thank you, Father. We pray now for your great blessing on communion together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So at this time, we will take communion. I think probably most of us already know, but what we'll do here is pass the bread out, and then when everybody's served, we'll take it at the same time together, and then the same with the cup. So let's pray for the bread. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that at the Last Supper, you took the bread, you broke it, you blessed it, and broke it. And so, Lord, we're asking your blessing on this bread as we take it together to remember what you did for us on the cross, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And so we do this in remembrance of him and his death for us on the cross. In Jesus' name. You okay with praying for the juice, bro?
Absolutely.
Good.
Okay. Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your love, for your crimson red love, Lord, that just washes us clean. And we're just so thankful, Lord, for every single thing that you provided for us. We lift up, Father, the moms, Lord, the prayer warriors that have changed all of our lives. And we just thank you so much for them as well, Jesus. And we take this communion, Father, and we just remember what you did for us in the cross, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to take the cup together. Jesus said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, the new testament, in my blood, which was shed for the remission, the forgiveness of many sins." And so all of our sins washed away. I want you to leave squeaky clean from this place today and just accept the washing and the cleansing of your sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get clean but through him. And so we take the cup in faith in Jesus' name. Want to just let you know that the prayer room is open for you today for any kinds of prayers. And you know, we actually got newer Bibles with one font size bigger. Yeah, for our giveaway Bibles. But still, one of the elders is not satisfied with that. And I don't think many of you will be either. So we'll keep working on that, okay? But we've got a real small font and then a little bigger now, just a little bigger. But we have to go to New Testaments instead of the whole Bible for the next step at Calvary Distribution. So it's kind of a little problem for us. You might be praying about it. But if you have really good eyes, you can pick up a free Bible today and be satisfied with that. So may the Lord bless you. May God just give you a great Mother's Day. May you have some good victuals to eat. Now there's a word for you, victuals. I think that's from the Midwest. So God bless you guys and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.